Most Pokemon that are good, you can immediately see why. It's no mystery why Incineroar and Landorus Therian are so good. Some Pokemon though, well, they clearly work, but it's not so obvious why. When you look at them, they don't seem like they should be that good, or like they should be good at all, and yet they are. So today we're exploring 5 Pokemon that are way better than they should be, and we're starting off with a particularly paradoxical Pokemon with Iron Crown. Iron Crown is a pleasant surprise of a Pokemon, in that it is so solid without being especially overwhelming in any sense. A rare breed in today's day and age, but one whose pseudo-old-school approach is nonetheless so solid and sturdy that it's found great success in both singles and BGC. Surrounded though it is by so many eye-popping Pokemon that everyone's vision has adjusted to a new threshold, Iron Crown's stat spread would not have been especially out of place in, let's say, Gen 7, and it plays a unique, balanced, all-around effective game, distinguishing it from the Thrall of Paradox Pokemon known for being min-maxed within an inch of their lives, leading to a more extreme playstyle. Iron Crown is downright traditional with how resolutely it goes the other way, almost a throwback. You don't expect this type of approach to be especially great when the likes of Iron Valiant are running around, especially since nothing in Iron Crown's toolkit immediately jumps out at you. We've had many Steel Psychic types for many years. Its stats are strong, but seem almost quaint given what we've become accustomed to, and its move pool certainly has some cool tricks, but nothing one might deem especially earth-shattering. Upon looking at it, you might say this is no region for old horses, and expect Iron Crown to sit on a throne of lesser power, to tread the lower tier path of its fellow quasi-swords of justice, Iron Leaves and Iron Boulder. Yet Iron Crown is indeed appropriate, as this Neo-Kobalion winds up, perhaps fittingly to Unovan lore, being the best of the trio in both singles and VGC. Across both formats, a major part of its strength is its signature stab, the significantly upgraded flash cannon that is Tachyon Cutter. Its 100 base power actually comes from 2 separate 50 base power hits, which makes it especially adept for bypassing focus sashes in VGC, a format in which it also pairs with psychic terrain to unleash wickedly strong secondary stab and expanding force. In singles, it wields a different form of psychic stab, as its go-to is the amazing Future Sight, which sets up all sorts of delayed yet inescapable mischief when you have to withstand 120 base power psychic stab and another attack on the same turn. But it can also offer the weaker psychic noise, whose upside is completely shutting off the opponent's recovery. Either way, playing defense against it is far more difficult than you'd expect at first, and the reason Iron Crown is true blue OU and a solid VGC choice isn't just this cool dual stab though, nor is it the rest of its move pool. Excellent though it is, from Focus Blast steel shredding coverage to even Volt Switch's amazing pivoting to the Calm Mind that alongside Booster Energy to activate Quark Drive might just mean it's cleaning up late game. It's the stat spread which allows it to deliver on the innate promise of its typing, both offensively and defensively. Base 122 special attack doesn't seem particularly amazing, but it really does pack quite a punch when you factor in how strong its stabs are, even though those don't seem particularly insane themselves. While it's not immediately threatening one-hit KOs against everything, in effect it deals deceptively destructive damage. Demolition dished out aside, it wouldn't be of much use if Iron Crown didn't receive myriad opportunities, but it did, because its very solid base 90 HP was matched with good base 100 defense and even better base 108 special defense. The latter made it a particularly great candidate for an assault vest, packing great special bulk alongside its many resists and not losing any steam offensively in the process. Able to check the likes of Iron Valiant while setting up future sights and maintaining momentum with Vault Switch, a pivot extraordinaire in the vein of a more powerful Gen 8 Slowbro or Slowking. Except unlike the Slow Twins, Iron Crown was actually quite fast considering how strong and bulky it was. Base 98 speed isn't getting the jump on everything, not by a long shot, but it does significantly expand that repertoire of Pokemon that it gets opportunities to do its thing against. Very notably against the mighty Kyurem, whose stabs it resists and whose substitutes it bypasses effortlessly with a super effective multi-hit Tachyon Cutter. Iron Crown is a wonderful example of the concept of something being more than the sum of its parts. Its positive traits were many and numerous, but the way they came together wound up forming something way better than what you would expect it should be. It was quite unlike the next Pokemon, which was thoroughly unbalanced and didn't seem like much, but overcame what it looked like it should be by taking its one good quality to the ultimate extreme, and that of course is Dracovish. But before we get into Dracovish, here are some earbuds way better than they should be. Our sponsor, Raycon. Raycon is the best in affordable high quality audio. Fall is here and that means it's time to go back to school. And I know you need some high quality audio for those study sessions, which is why Raycon is perfect for the job. In fact, I use my Raycons literally literally every day because I literally can't do chores without listening to something, be it music, a podcast, or an audiobook. And Raycon has gotten even better with their new Essential Open Earbuds. These Essential Open Earbuds are feather light, as you don't even feel that they're there. Seriously, I can leave them on for hours and I forget they're even on. And they also have a great balance of audio since they are better at letting in your surroundings. For example, you can go for a walk and listen to your favorite podcast, but still be aware of traffic, which is something I often do. They also hold an insane amount of battery with a 36-hour battery time. I don't have to charge these often. How convenient. I really don't know how I'd get through today without the Raycon Essential Open Earbuds. So if you want the best in premium audio and also support the channel to help us produce more content, go to buyraycon.com/FSGopen to get 20% off your order of Essential Open Earbuds. When you first look at Dracovish, it seems bad. Water Dragon is great typing, of course, but 90 base attack isn't doing it. It's weaker than Kingdra, whose base 95 attack regularly got its Dragon Dance sets laughed at back in Generation 4. Dracovish isn't making up for it with speed either, not by a long shot. Base 75 also wouldn't have been especially impressive back in Gen 4, not if you weren't packing some serious heat in the power department, but as it stands, that was exactly what Dracovish was doing. Dracovish is one of those Pokemon whose viability comes entirely from a move. In this case, its signature stab, the water-type Fisher's Wren, which clocks in at 85 base power, but doubles to a staggering 170 if Dracovish moves before the opponent, or if it's hitting a Pokemon that's switching in on its turn that it's used. This is, of course, one of the most utterly insane moves that Game Freak's ever crafted, dwarfing even their previous skyscraper standards. Oh, and as if the fact that this move was stab wasn't enough, that's still not all, as Dracovish's strong jaw ability gives Fisher's Wren another 50% boost, effectively a built-in choice band without the move lock. It is well and truly unreal. For perspective, something like Magearna's Fluor Cannon or Latios's Draco Meteor, equally powerful paragons of high-level stab destruction, clock in at 195 base power after stab. Plus, they're so strong, they have their special attack stats slashed by 2 stages after each use. No such drawback exists for Fisher's Wren. It's even 100% accurate, as opposed to Draco's 90%. Even if you go back to Gen 5, before Draco Meteor's power was nerfed, Latios' 140 base power Meteor came in at a quote-unquote mere 210 after stab. Being 47 base power stronger than that is just unreal. For even more perspective on how much of an actual difference that is in battle, Specs Latios Draco Meteor does 100% minimum to 0 bulk Mew. Despite its seemingly paltry base 90 attack, Fisher's Wren's doubled power is so strong, it allows Dracovish to do 95% minimum against that same Mew, without any other boost. That's right, it does Prime Specs Latios numbers without any additional item help. You put a choice band on it, and it's suddenly that minimum jumps up to 141.9%. This means that banded Dracovish's minimum roll against an equivalent target is over 40% more than Prime Specs Latios, and the difference between their max rolls is even greater. Latios tops out at 118.7%, while Dracovish's peak is 167.4%, for a difference of 48.7%. It almost does Prime Specs Latios damage and a half. And ready for the most insane calc of all? It is stronger than Choice Band Rampardo's Head Smash, which does 141 to 166.2% to this same Mew, and Dracovish does it without an adamant nature itself. Okay, you get the picture, but even with this unfathomably searing level of power, at first glance, you might not necessarily expect Dracovish to actually be as good as it wound up being, precisely because of how meager those other stats are. Base 90 HP and 100 defense is pretty good, but hardly amazing, and that's the best of the rest it offers. That 75 speed is usually going to be a real uphill struggle in pretty much every generation. Dracovish may have what is basically the physical equivalent to Kyogre's rain boosted water spout without actually needing the rain, but even though the realization that you can pair also it with rain jolted players' brains to even further mind-shattering levels of excitement and disbelief, the invocation of Rampardo also tends to bring us back to reality. What good is that power if you can't actually use it? That poor speed is especially bad for Dracovish, since it not only leaves its low bulk more exposed, it undoes the entire conceit of Fisher's Wren, which is that it has to go first. As soon as you lose that, its power becomes, not great, considering the rest of its flaws. The bulkless Mew, which it KOs a time and a half over, with full-powered Choice Band Fisher's Wrens without an attack-boosting nature, yeah, that same Mew takes 77.7% to 91.7% from Fisher's Wren if Dracovish moves second, and that's with adamant. It's so paltry, Mew is significantly favored to survive the hit after Stealth Rock damage, to say nothing of all the ways that Mew can mess Dracovish up if it gets the chance to move first. Okay, so Fisher's Wren has to go first, but it also works on the Switch, right? Well, if you're not that fast, you don't get that many opportunities to force opposing Pokemon out and make the opponent switch. Yeah, about that. While Dracovish may not be a speedster, it's certainly fast enough to get the jump on the many bulky Pokemon necessary to give a metagame its defensive backbone, meaning it both threatens them out and puts pressure on that switch-in. Getting Dracovish to hit the field safely doesn't seem like the easiest thing in the world, but then you remember the power and abundance of switch moves, and suddenly it's not so difficult after all. And that's just Choice Band too. With a Choice Scarf, Dracovish is no longer relegated solely to beating up defensive Pokemon, and instead threatens offensive Pokemon that are significantly less equipped to withstand those fishes' rend. It's a scarfer that's doing Gen 5 Specs Latios damage. Turns out it's not actually very difficult to put Dracovish into a position where it gets to unleash those fully realized fishes' rend, and that winds up translating to very easy KOs, because on top of all that strength, water is also one of the best, most spammable stab types in the game. Of course, Dracovish cleaved through plenty of resists anyway, and it wound up rocking OU pretty hard, much more than you'd expect upon first impression. This already was better than a Pokemon of its stats should be, but then it went a step further and so dominated the tier that it got banned to Ubers. Oh, and as if that wasn't enough, it was a terror in Ubers as well. Dracovish really overcame all its many debilitating flaws through sheer strength alone, as Dracovish dished the hits out and was thus the polar opposite of the next Pokemon, which didn't seem like it should be much, but the hits came in and it took them with aplomb with Petrarun. At first glance, Petrarun's gargantuan base 160 defense stands out, but this is partially because the base 88 that it has in literally every other stat is so underwhelming, even without the absurdly skewed point of comparison. A 600 base stat total is great and everything, after all it is a mythical Pokemon, but while you expect it to certainly find a decent niche somewhere, Petrarun doesn't feel like it should be especially good, much less a staple as a defensive stronghold in the most power-crept OU tier of all time. Sure, by the virtue of being a mythical Pokemon, it's got plenty of unique traits, that's to be expected, but they have to pack some serious impact to make up for a stat spread that is almost exclusively worse than the base 100 across the board that can no longer hack it. Packing so much physical defense can only get you so far. Petrarun's packing Deoxys Defense's base defense stat with a lot more HP, but what else? Let's start with his signature move, Malignant Chain. Not only is it the strongest special poison type move, coming in at 100 base power that outdoes even Sludge Wave's 95, it also packs a stunning 50% poison rate. It's basically a special poison type Sacred Fire, except even better because it has 100% accuracy over Sacred Fire's 95. Oh, and if Petrarun poisons a target, its Poison Puppeteer ability also confuses them. Nothing like stacking status affliction. Petrarun's other stab is one of the best in the game too, Ghost, giving it a choice of either the reliable Shadow Ball or the potentially stronger Hex, whose double damage against a status target gorgeously synergizes even further with Malignant Chain. Of course, you're going to try and use Pokemon immune to poison status to avoid this, which is easier said than done, by the way, given that Stab's Shadow Ball threatens certain such Pokemon like Goldango and Galarian Slowking. But even when you do, Petrarun will happily use another amazing tool in its arsenal, a switch move, and not just any switch move, but Parting Shot, ensuring that the incoming Pokemon is weaker and thus Petrarun's teammate has an even easier time against it. Oh, and Petrarun has the irritating habit of sticking around like a house guest not getting the hint that dinner is over because it has Recover, letting it repeatedly take advantage of its amazing resist to Fighting and Fairy. That's right, Iron Valiant stabs to stifle opposing threats like Zamazenta and Ogrepound Wellspring while harassing the opponent. Petrarun's defensive pivot set is the standard for good reason, but it can also go all-out offensive with Nasty Plot, turning the tables on would-be answers like Gliscor. Okay, so those are great tools, and those do indeed go hand-in-hand with its stunning physical bulk. The question is, are the rest of his stats sufficient? If Petrarun's physical bulk wasn't so well and truly insane, then no, maybe not. But base 88 HP and special defense is actually quite decent, so it's hardly frail on that side. And while 88 special attack may be underwhelming on paper, the excellence of his stabs allows it to transcend this. Finally, 88 speed on a defensive Pokemon is actually quite good, and if Petrarun wants, it can choose to invest in it to get the jump on plenty of staples, as it's one base point faster than Great Tusk. We haven't even mentioned how much more mileage you can get out of Petrarun's usual toolkit depending on its item. Heavy Duty Boots makes it extremely difficult to wear down, Rocky Helmet punishes U-turns like those from Cinderace, Rillaboom, and Ogrepan Wellspring, and Air Balloon allows it to potentially switch into Great Tusk and block its Rapid Spin, because yeah, Petrarun can also do that. It doesn't seem like it do so much, but Petrarun has firmly established itself as a strong OU staple, a journey not entirely dissimilar to that of a pseudo-legendary a few generations prior with Kamo-O. Kamo-O was a late bloomer in Gen 7. For a pseudo-legendary, its stats just seemed too low. Or rather, its highest stat had the Gudra-esque trait of being in the wrong place. Base 125 defense is cool and all, but is it going to go anywhere with that? Isn't it just going to be making it slightly more difficult to revenge kill? It's certainly nice that it's not at all fragile, an issue which tended to plague Salamence even at its most broken back in Gen 4. before, but pseudo-legendaries are by and large utilized for their offense, even when, like Tyranitar, they're defensively adept. Base 125 isn't a bad stat peak, it's High Dragon's special attack after all, but man, Kumo-O just didn't seem like it could bring the heat in the power department. Its special defense being base 105 was great, but it was actually higher than its special attack stat, at base 100, which is certainly far from bad, but produced the effect of, is that it? Even its higher attack stat was quote-unquote only base 110, which wasn't at all earth-shattering by Sun and Moon standards. Even with the sweet Koridon anticipating dual-stab combo that was Dragon Fighting, it's not like it was going to be completely impenetrable defensively, with base 75 HP not being terrible, but still somewhat undercutting its great defenses, and it wasn't going to be getting by on its speed either, clocking it at a fine but only just barely base 85. This was a fine stat spread for a UU Pokemon, and indeed Kumo-O was excellent in the tier for quite some time, but those close combats didn't quite sting as much as it'd like in a metagame with Terrakion. This is why it wasn't perceived as all that for a long time, even well into Ultra Sun and Moon. After it received its signature Z-move, the 85 base power Clangorous Soul Blaze, which also gave it an Omni boost or a plus one boost to every stat. Even this wasn't quite enough. Number one, it was a Z move that could very well do absolutely nothing if blanked into a fairy type, which resisted both Kumo-O's stabs. Number two, Kumo-O's signature move, Clanging Scales, was a special attack, meaning it came off of its much weaker base special attack stat, exacerbated by the fact that it had to make a choice of whether it was going to invest in attack or special attack on any given set, given it had to go mixed in order to use close combat. Number three, even if it did get the Omni boost, it still wasn't necessarily that threatening, because those stats just didn't seem like enough, especially since the boost was a one-time deal. It seemed insufficient in OU terms anyway. Eventually, it wound up banned from UU, but there's a world of difference between that and being genuinely good in OU. And yet, Kumo-O wound up being much better than it should be, because for all its strange, seemingly low misplaced stats, it wound up rising to OU through usage and proving itself to be the real deal. Turns out, it was an excellent defensive Pokemon. Its unique typing let it resist both Ash Greninja stabs and with special defense investment alongside Protect for Leftovers recovery, it was able to take on it and a number of other threats like Heatran and Superior, while its natural physical bulk meant it excelled at the Tapu Bulu and assisted nicely against Kartana, all while supporting its team with Stealth Rock. Okay, so it's a nice defensive Pokemon. Oh wait, turns out it's actually very good offensively too. What it lacks in mind-blowing power, it makes up for by virtue of its great natural bulk and typing. It commonly began to run an offensive Stealth Rock Commodium Z set, which took a more aggressive approach to leveraging its defensive profile for rocks while also posing more of a threat for the faster paced teams that it found itself on, with poison jab to threaten fairy types and stab close combat ensuring Magearna wasn't too comfortable coming in. This Kumo-O often used the mere threat of Clangorous Soul Blaze to force opponents into awkward positions, though when it pulled it off against something like a Tornadus Therian switch, the results were often explosive. Oh, and that's still not all. Turns out Dragon Dance sets with a variety of different Z moves could be extremely efficient late game cleaners, unthreatened as they were from high health by Scarf Lander Styrian and Kartana, as well as shrugging off Ash Greninja's Water Shuriken. Basically, Kumo-O's terrific typing and move pool, at first thought to be betrayed by its stats, eventually proved itself to be so good that one wonders if it might be a tad overwhelming should it be stronger. It should be a Pokemon too good for UU, but only niche in OU. And yet, it eventually proved itself to be excellent in OU, and that fits, as our last pick shouldn't have been good and yet was in UU and OU alike with Tentacruel. In Gen 2 OU and Gen 3 UU, Tentacruel is a fearsome threat thanks to Swords Dance. In fact, in Gen 3 UU, it's one of the most defining Pokemon. Every newer gen player going back to those gens regards this with puzzlement. This should not work. This set referred to as Druidcruel as Substitute, Swords Dance, Hydro Pump, and Sludge Bomb. So Druidcruel is a Swords Dancer with one physical move. Remember, all poison moves are physical in the pre-physical special split of the first three generations. This is already strange, but it only gets stranger. Tentacruel is working off of a thoroughly unimpressive base 70 attack stat. It's barely functional even by UU standards. Poison stab isn't exactly great either. Pre-fairy types, it was downright rare, with severely limited super effective reach, plenty of common resists, and at 90 base power, Sludge Bomb wasn't quite rocking the earth-shattering force needed to split the difference against the remaining neutral targets. Its secondary stab, Water, which was always special in the first three gens, had infinitely better coverage, but the problem was that Tentacruel's base special attack was only base 80, better than its attack, yes, but hardly to the point where its unboosted Hydro Pumps would be inspiring fear in opponents. By all accounts, this set should not work. This Tentacruel almost feels like it shouldn't be used at all in Gen 2 OU, the land of Snorlax, Legendary Electric, and Stall Team. While in Gen 3 UU, it certainly doesn't feel like it should be warping the tier so much that Blastoise often slots an Earthquake as one example. And yet it does. It seems strange to use Swords Dance to power up just one move, but really, Hydro Pump and Substitute are far more useful than any hidden power ground or double edge that you might be tempted to slot in there. The fact that Swords Dance and Rapid Spin are incompatible on the same moveset is a factor, but still, Substitute and Hydro Pump are essential to this specific set being as effective as it is. Water and Poison are wonderfully complementary stabs, with Poison smacking water-resistant grasses super effectively and providing neutral hits against Water and Dragon in the unlikely event you run into Gen 2 OU Dragonite. Meanwhile, the ground and rock types that resist poison are terrified of water, which also hits Steels, Ghosts, and opposing poisons neutrally. This makes Sludge Bomb actually quite spammable, and while it's not dealing huge damage in and of itself, what it does do is threaten a nasty 30% poison rate. Suddenly, that Tentacruel switch in is on a timer. It's not just about the stab combo either, or the fact that going mixed lets Tentacruel generally threaten physical walls with great ease, as opposed to struggling to make its way through them, even after a boost the way it would if its move against Golem was HP ground instead. The fact that Tentacruel is toxic immune is a rare, helpful tool for a Swords Dancer. For one, meaning it's got longevity into the face of opposing stall teams, and two, its base 100 speed is fantastic. This in conjunction with Swords Dance is always going to have a lot of appeal late game. When everything is weakened, that base 70 attack is no longer quite so weak when all you have to do is finish things off. No, Tentacruel's not ripping apart entire teams after a boost, Marowak style, but it's not playing Marowak's game. One boost and suddenly a weakened team is in Sludge Bomb range, with the Pokemon that resist it often being the ones that are majorly threatened by Hydro Pump. Then you throw Substitute into the mix, and you see how its threat level gets amplified even further. Forget Thunder Wave, forget sacrificing a slower Pokemon to safely get in on another. It's another way of working around that base 70 attack, because it constantly provokes situations where you have to take 2 plus 2 Sludge Bombs, and even from Tentacruel's low attack stat, that gets pretty scary pretty quickly. Heck, if Tentacruel has poisoned the target, it can even sub-stall a few turns for extra damage before finishing it off. In Gen 2, Sub has an even greater use. With Thunder being the standard on the Legendary Electrics, that lower accuracy can suddenly become nightmarish when forced to land repeated hits against Tentacruel. They can't exactly afford to miss either, as after one Swords Dance, Sludge Bomb is putting a lot of pressure on them, with Zapdos and Raikou often forced to rest, as they might have to should Sludge Bomb land the poison. They'll have to call the move through Sleep Talk, if they even have Sleep Talk, that is. The odds are even worse. Alternatively, a teammate could paralyze them, and then they have to land repeated Thunders through Paralysis against a faster Tentacruel. Druidcruel needed some support to work, but the fact that it could work at all seemed like somewhat of a miracle, considering the flaws were such that it almost shouldn't even be used, let alone be genuinely good. And it didn't just work, it was a seriously dangerous threat. And thank you so much to our Platinum patrons. Thank you to Amphozenus, Alex Sable, Anthony Belval Renault, Bingleton, Daniel Isbeast, Corman, Eric Dissing, Funky, Glitcherton, Howl, Jack G, King Yabber, Nightfall, Megamon VGC, Mojo Gameslayer, Nurse Jake, Pretzel SP, Soljiro Sakura, Spavoon, Gylaria, Soros and Croxin, Shiwei Miji, Stoneface Colin, Kiboflu, Wardine, for their major support of our videos.